It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the post-game show following Bayern Munich's massive 2-2 draw with Real Madrid in the Champions League. What drama was in the match? Incredible game by Bayern Munich, but they just could not pull it out in the end. And of course, there are reasons for that, which we will get to. But man, I have to say this. The atmosphere in the arena, the crowd lived up to everything that it needed to be. They were lively. They were raucous, chanting, singing, everything. They just made noise. And you could tell right away that things were uncomfortable for Real Madrid. But in the end, did not matter. Real Madrid did what they always do at this time of year, which is come out and make a big play when they needed to. Unfortunately, this time it was at the expense of Bayern Munich. But man, what a match. I am still kind of coming down from the high of that match. It was back and forth, so exciting. The swings of emotions. I know there's a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. Like we always do with this show, we're going to start by taking a look at Thomas Tuchel's starting 11, because it was unexpected to say the least. There were some surprises there, some things I definitely did not expect to see, but hey, it worked. Tuchel seems to be pushing all of the right buttons. I guess there's probably one move you could argue with at this point, but we will talk about that in a little bit. Tuchel started out things with Manuel Neuer, goalkeeper, which we all knew, the outside back combination of Joshua Kimmich and Nusar Mizrahi, center backs Eric Dier and Kim Min-jae. Those were all expected starters based on what we had seen in recent weeks. And when you factor in the injury to Matthijs de Ligt that happened over the weekend against Eintracht Frankfurt, you knew Kim Min-jae would get that start just because of how shaky Dayo Upamecano has been in the second half of the season. In the central midfield, Konrad Laimer was deemed healthy enough to start, so he got the nod along with Leon Goretzka. That left Alexander Pavlovich on the bench and also Rafael Guerrero, who did not get the start at left back in the central midfield or at left wing. Obviously, Tuchel likes Guerrero a lot. There's a lot of value to what Guerrero brings to the table, but Tuchel had ideas about how he wanted to approach this match, and it's tough to argue with the result, to be honest. I think Tuchel needs to be given credit for doing what needed to be done. He pulled all of the right levers in this match to get things started. The attack is where we saw some surprises, or really just one surprise. Harry Kane was no shock there at striker. Jamal Musiala bumped out officially to play wing. Leroy Sané came back from injury. He also played wing, but the big shocker was Thomas Muller playing the 10. Now, if you watched early in the game especially, it really did function with Muller more as the striker and Kane as the 10. But you could really argue it didn't matter what numbers you attached to either of those two players with the way they were interchanging. I thought it was a really solid effort by the attack and taking on a very staunch Real Madrid defense. So I was happy with Tuchel's 11. I thought it functioned really well. Let's just get this out, get the cat out of the bag now. Kim Min-jae had a god-awful game. And yes, it's probably cherry-picking a couple of moments. But if you remember last season, you only had to cherry pick a couple of moments for Dayo Upamecano to have a bad game against Man City. Kim Min-jae was just not up to the task today. And it's unfortunate because seems like a good guy, seems like a hard worker, but he was, I don't want to say totally at fault for both goals, but there are going to be a lot of people that point the finger right at him for those. Just really unfortunate for the guy who came over from Napoli last summer, had a really strong start to the season, but he tailed off big time. And whether it's the accumulated wear and tear, whether it's that he's been battling injuries, maybe it's just confidence, or maybe he's not comfortable yet in Germany. All of these things are reasonable. I don't want to say excuses, but they're all reasonable things that he could be dealing with. He just has not been the same. And you can see it in the way he's playing. He's just not all that confident. And that hurt Bayern Munich in a bad way today. If you had to really critique Tuchel's starting 11, you would start with Kim Min-jae because he was not good. We'll give you a rundown here of the scoring and the substitutions. Obviously, with the game being 2-2, it was a hard-fought battle. The first 15 minutes or so, Bayern was thoroughly dominant. They could have really been up 3-0. Zane had a great chance. Kane had a good chance. He didn't get a piece. Didn't get all of. Kane had one of his patented shots from just inside the midfield line. Bayern was rolling. The crowd was lively. Everything was going great. It was just the best kind of start you could ask for that didn't include a couple of goals. But unfortunately, in the 24th minute, Toni Kroos, doing what he just always seems to do, sent in a perfect ball to Vinicius, who calmly and deftly finished. Vinicius, of course, took advantage of some major space that Kim Min-jae vacated. Really unfortunate spacing and positioning from Kim Min-jae, who just left it wide open. It's really tough to say he wasn't at fault there, because he absolutely was. He needed to be better. I don't know if it was a focus thing. I don't know if he wasn't aware of his positioning, but it created this huge gap. And you can't do that with a player with the skill set of Vinicius, who used his speed to just get into that space. And if Toni Kroos is going to deliver a ball like that, you know it's going to be a goal. And of course it was. So 24 minutes in, Real Madrid is up 1-0, and it did deflate the team and the crowd a little bit, but everything would pick back up, because this was a match where Bayern Munich, I really did feel, was intense and focused and played with that urgency that we haven't seen in every match this season. I thought, honestly, it was one of their more spirited, if not their most spirited, starts to a match the entire season. But the match would go into halftime with Bayern Munich trailing 1-0. And then things would change. Thomas Tuchel decided to take out Leon Goretzka for Rafael Guerrero. Now, I haven't heard anything as of yet, and I did watch the match without volume for part of it, so I don't know if it was explained. But what I can say is I didn't think Goretzka was all that bad. So we don't know if this is an injury thing, if it was a tactical thing, if it was planned. We don't know yet, but Guerrero came in and did a good job, I thought. We'll have to see what happened with Goretzka. At the time of this recording, I still don't know. So Guerrero came in, did a really good job. And like I said, I didn't think Goretzka was bad. I thought he played a pretty solid first half. So I'm okay with the change. It worked out in my mind, and I thought that both players were able to positively impact the match. The 53rd minute, though, we did see Leroy Sané come through off of an assist from Konrad Leimer. Sané got his goal, made it 1-1. And you could really start to feel things turn in the direction of Bayern Munich. Just minutes later, in the 57th minute, Jamal Musiala drew a foul in the box. Lo and behold, Harry Kane stepped to the spot, buried his attempt. Bayern Munich all of a sudden is up 2-1. Real Madrid is stunned, absolutely stunned at this point. They're starting to really start to feel that pressure. The crowd was all over them. He just felt really, really good about where things stood for Bayern Munich at that point. But of course, there was a long way to go. In the 80th minute, Serge Gnabry came in for Thomas Muller. And I do want to commend Muller, because even though he didn't get on the score sheet, he absolutely made an impact in the game. His pressing was relentless. I thought he made a lot of smart plays in the attack. I think it was a really good decision by Thomas Tuchel to give him the start in this one, and it almost worked out for everyone. Unfortunately, though, the 82nd minute, Kim Min-jae was called for what I consider to be a needless foul in the box on Rodrigo, which resulted in a PK for Vinicius, which he buried in the 83rd minute to knot the game at 2-2. Now, when we look at that play, a couple of things really stood out to me. One, again, poor positioning by Kim Min-jae, and I don't know if it was a factor of him being on the right side instead of the left. I don't know if he just wasn't used to it. Maybe he just was struggling with his positioning and awareness today. But letting Rodrigo get that step on him, put him in a position where he felt like he needed to make a physical play in a bad area. And yes, it was a foul. The problem was Eric Dyer was closing in. He could have potentially helped with a stop there. I thought it was a needless foul in that it shouldn't have happened. And this is the kind of thing that does define you as a player in these big and key moments. Think about how everyone felt about Dayo Upamecano prior to the Manchester City tie last year. Everyone loved him. He was great at Bayern Munich. Things were going really well. Now he's kind of an afterthought on their back line, unfortunately. For Kim Min-jae, we could be looking in a very similar scenario. I know that every Bayern fan right now is really hoping that Matthijs de Ligt is healthy and is able to go for the next leg of this. It's really curious with de Ligt because we haven't heard all that much about his injury other than that he probably wasn't going to play, which Tuchel revealed at the press conference prior to this match. It was unfortunate that Kim Min-jae was victimized twice, but as a player, you have to be up to the task. Certainly, Bayern Munich did not bring him to Germany to falter in these kind of moments. So hopefully he's able to rebound, get his confidence back. But I have a feeling this is going to be a tough one for him. It's a lot of weight on a player when you're basically directly responsible for a couple of goals in a Champions League semifinal. So I hope that fans don't go overboard and start with the nonsense online because it doesn't really accomplish anything. You just end up looking like an idiot. The guy already feels bad enough, I'm sure, and he's probably going to have some trouble getting over this one. So there's really no need to pile on. Sure, it's fair to criticize him. He needed to be better in this match, but he wasn't. So, I mean, you can leave it at that. You don't need to harass the guy in his personal time. It's not worth your time or his. As I said, that's how the match would end, 2-2. Fans are having mixed feelings about it. I'm going to tell you what, I'm okay with the result, and not just because I predicted it. I know I feel like frickin' Macbeth, the fact that I called 2-2, but I just felt like this one was always somehow going to end in a draw and that we would be heading into Spain with a lot of suspense. And I think that's what's going to happen. But we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and tell you why I'm okay with this result and why I think it's a good sign, because even though it was a draw on their home field, there was a lot of good that you could take from this if you're a Bayern Munich fan. So just hang with us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the post-game show. This is Chuck Smith for Bavarian Podcast Works. Hope you enjoyed that first segment of the show where we ran down the starting lineup, the details of the match with the scoring and subs, and then some of my thoughts about why things broke out the way they did. But I have to tell you, when you're coming on after a match like that, you always have this gamut of emotions that you feel. And I know a lot of people out there are saying this was a lost opportunity. And you're right. It was a lost opportunity. Bayern Munich had this game in its grasp. But you have to remember it's Real Madrid. And it might sound like a cop-out, but this is why they are Real Madrid. They find ways to win or eke out a draw in matches like this. I hate it. You hate it. We all hate it. But this is what they do. And yes, the lost opportunity of this is Bayern could have really put the pressure on them. They could have been leading in the overall tie, heading into that second leg in Spain. It would have been a great way to approach that match at the Bernabeu. Unfortunately, now it's basically down to one game, and whoever can muster more goals in that game will win, obviously. But I'm not going to get caught up and hung up on this being a lost opportunity. I won't deny that it is, but there was so much good that we could take out of this. And first and foremost, it's that Bayern Munich showed that they absolutely 100% not just could play with Real Madrid, but are probably the better side. It's unfortunate the way that Madrid was able to score their goals. It's unfortunate that they came at the expense of Kim Min-jae. But Bayern Munich as a team showed that they have just as much quality, if not more, as Real Madrid. And they've got the metal. They've got mental toughness. So I don't really fear going into the Bernabeu. I don't fear facing Real Madrid in a match that right now everyone assuming is going to end up crooked because of the referees. I get it. Trust me. I have been there just like you have for some of those results and a lot of questionable calls. But this is a Bayern Munich team that has persevered through the season. And it's one thing that you cannot take away from them. They've had a crappy year. They have been up and down. They couldn't get things together. They feuded with the coach. But through it all, they have gotten to this point and they have showed that they are a true tough team in every single way, physically, mentally. They are tough and they are going to go into Spain and they are going to battle Real Madrid and they're going to fight them like Madrid has not faced all season. Even more so than Manchester City, this is a Bayern Munich squad that wants this. And you can tell that they're sick and tired of hearing how they've been a failure all season. They're sick and tired of hearing that this was the Bayern Munich side that could not win the Bundesliga. They're sick and tired of it all. And they're playing right now with a true sense of urgency. They are on a mission. And I'll tell you what, Tuchel, maybe for the first time all season, during this Champions League quarterfinals and semifinals, has gotten on the same, really on the same side as his team. I mean, everyone is moving in unison at this point. The team, the coaching staff, they're working together. It really does look and feel like for the first time, that Bayern Munich is the old Bayern Munich, that they are up to the task of going into an impossibly tough environment and pulling out a big win. And I know a lot of people would love to have been leading into this, including me, but I saw enough of Bayern Munich's heart and everything that I need to see that told me that they can go in and do this. Now, saying they can go in and do it is different than actually going in and getting that win. But I'm here to tell you, you need to feel good about where this stands. Because I think Real Madrid gave everything it had to eke out this draw. I think they dug deep and clawed out everything that was in their tank to make this happen. And I think Bayern Munich in their tank has a lot more to give. So I'm excited about it. And yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer to see the game slip away, but there was so much good. You saw that attack and the way that they were focused and dangerous. And Madrid at times looked like they were scared of what Bayern Munich could do. You saw Bayern Munich playing with a wounded defense. Think about it. Kim Min-jae has been on the bench for a couple of weeks. I know he had some Bundesliga appearances, but I'm talking about important matches that mean something. He hasn't been his sharp self. Usar Mizrahi really just started playing left back for Bayern Munich in recent weeks. I mean, this was a makeshift unit that held Real Madrid to two goals. And honestly, aside of the two miscues, which again are unfortunately on the same player, I thought the back line held its own and did a really good job. I'm okay with where this stands. But what I am eager to hear is how you feel. Because I know there's a lot of bitterness out there. I know there's a lot of disappointment. But I guess I'm here to tell you, maybe let's be a little bit more optimistic when we head into Spain, because I liked what I saw. I know a lot of you liked different parts of what you saw as well. It's no time to be a defeatist. It's time to look at this challenge right in the eye and say, F you, Madrid, we're going to take this. That's about all we got for this post-game show. I hope you enjoyed it. Please drop me some comments in this post or hit me up on social media because I love hearing how you feel about things. You can always get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get the podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get Tom Adams, who made his CBS Golazo debut today. If you missed that, our guy Tommy was on CBS Golazo, and he had a big featured segment. It was really cool, but you can get him at TommyAdams71. Yeah, there'll probably be some ladies scoping Tom out after that appearance. Anyway, you can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN, and you can get Siler at BFW Siler. And I shouldn't forget Marcus Iredal, who you can get at Iredal Marcus. You can get all of the great coverage we're going to have of this match between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid at BavarianFootballWorks.com. We've got it all, the initial analysis, the match awards, the observations, this post-game podcast, and all the reactions that you can handle. So hit it up there, please. We're looking forward to seeing how you feel about the match on the site as well. So, hey, have a couple of beers on me. It's time to have a little bit of a little relaxation now, cool down a little bit. And hey, We will be back with a preview show for the Bundesliga on Wednesday and then the weekend warm-up. And we've got a whole slate. So stay with us. Have those beers. We'll see you next time.